first time, my name is Motinolawa, and this is my podcast called Serious Talk with Tinola. I have already 2 seasons put out there. You can find them on any podcast streaming platform. And yes, on this particular session, I'm having 2 or more people that are already here with me. I'm gonna let each person introduce themselves and maybe share something about what they do or whatever they do before we dive into the topic directly. So first things first, I want to call on ladies first. I have Bukola here with me. I'll let her introduce herself, and then I'll let Mo introduce himself. Can you all hear me? Please raise your hands or make a signal if you can hear me. Yes, okay. See, right to speak. Yes, so we're good. Hi, Bukola.
Hi, hello.
Hello, you have a sweet voice.
Oh my god, yeah, this is about to be fun. So,
it is gonna be fun. Please go ahead and introduce yourself.
Okay, so my name is do I go with my full name? Is that fine?
The floor is yours.
Okay, so I'm Ola Bukola Ruth Ogunbanjo, and I am a student in digital marketing and e-business here in Paris, and I'm also a makeup artist. So yeah, that's me. There you have it.
Thank you and welcome, Bukola. Thank you for joining on my podcast. And I also have
thanks for having me.
Thank you. I also have the charming Moyo in the house. Please, Moyo, introduce yourself a little bit. Don't be too shy.
Hi, guys. Thanks for calling me charming. So my name is Moyo Bolaji. I am a project engineer, and I worked in the oil and gas industry and the process engineering industry.
Okay. That's nice. Nice to meet you, Mo. So I guess we're supposed to have a third person, so hopefully she has the link and can join us very briefly. How are you guys, before we dive in? How are you guys doing? How's the weekend going?
Smooth, I guess.
Yeah, weekend's going.
Sorry, Mario.
Ladies first, you know, Mo, let's be nice.
Right.
Okay, so yeah. My weekend has been smooth, I guess. And it's been smooth. That's the word for this weekend.
That's good. Mo, how about you?
Yeah, my weekend's been great. You know me? I play football, watch football, eat, relax a bit. So yeah, it's just been quite chilled.
Chill. Okay, see you all having great weekends. Mine too is kind of calm, you know, changing weather. So I'm a little bit tired, but then it is what it is. So guys, as you already know, that this session is more of emotional abuse in workplace. If you've been following before, or if this is your first time joining, I have put out a different series of emotional abuse in relationship, in families, like generally speaking. So if you're not listening, catch them anywhere you can. So what I'm gonna do is I'm not gonna try and do a definition of what emotional abuse is. I've been doing that for a couple of episodes, so I'll just dive in into the subject of the day. If you're wondering why I chose emotional abuse in workplace, I don't know if you follow Nigerian Twitter. A few months back, there was an outburst on Twitter Ninja on specific people that are working for a tech environment and how toxic it could be. I wanted to put out a session at that time, but let's just say I couldn't. Now I'm doing it now. So this topic is something that's happened to me personally. I wanted to invite people that can also speak on it. So yes, I would just literally just give you guys a breakdown of what, like, when I was doing my research, what I found. Yeah, can you guys hear me?
Yeah, we can.
Okay, great. Bukola, can you hear me? Hello? Bukola, can you hear me?
Yes, I can. I dropped a message in the discussion.
Okay, sorry. So yes, so when generally we talk about emotional abuse, the first scenario that comes to our mind is basically in relationships or in family. We kind of picture both couples or family members that are inflicting emotional abuse from with their children, with their siblings, or whatever. However, like, emotional abuse does take place, like, among professionals in business or formal setting. It should not, I don't think it should be a surprise when we talk about it, because, you know, today's business world, if I can use that word, is everybody's like in a competition, indirectly or directly. You, even if there is this team of building, like, showing like we have culture in where we work, we tolerate each other, we are diverse, we have different people from different countries, it's a multicultural setting, but then we don't speak much on that rivalry, that competitive thing surrounding, like, the business, the professional setting. So yes, like, the workplace is actually an ideal nesting place for emotional abuse, because it serves really as like a breeding ground for various and negative emotions, like, you know, jealousy, as I mentioned, envy, competitiveness, and insecurity. So guys, what do you, like, just like an introduction, what do you guys think about the introduction I just gave? Does it fit in? Do you feel like it's something that should be adjusted, or you want to add something to it?
So for me, where do I even begin? I think you've almost said it all, and those are like major signs to look out for when, like, in the offices, because it's usually these things are usually like, I'll use the Nigerian language, low-key. Like, if you're not very, very vigilant, if you're not vigilant enough, you'd most likely not notice it. But then these things actually do exist. For instance, you mentioned companies claiming that they are diverse and all that. And deep down inside, like, when you start to work with them, you just realize, guy, I am on my own. There is no diversity. There's no inclusiveness, nothing, absolutely nothing. And also, I think you mentioned something about rivalry and stuff. Like, there are situations where I wouldn't say your boss is necessarily, like, people would just want to kind of, I think sabotage your work is the word that I want to use. Like, I think the signs for me are usually, like, unnecessary sabotage of people's works, like, claiming unnecessary rights, and, you know, like, taking glory for the things that you did. There are situations where people would, like, do a certain job, and maybe the superior thing is it's a good work, and then your direct boss decides to take the glory, and it's always very annoying. And then there's one more thing that I would actually like to add. So there's this thing they usually say about French bosses. Sorry to every French boss out there. So they usually say French bosses won't fire you, like, they'll never fire you. They'll just start to give you unnecessary tasks, like tasks that don't just make any sense.
We'll come back to that. Yeah. Not to cut you short, but we'll come back to that, of like the signs and how to recognize that you are being emotionally abused at work. Okay. Mm-hmm. Back to Bo. You want to chip in something real quickly before we further?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I feel like I agree with what you both have said to a very great extent, you know. Also, given the aspect that you guys are both females and I'm female, I feel like sometimes it will be different, you know, for two. And like Ola said, you know, you have to be very vigilant and you have to know, because for the longest time, I never even knew, you know. Like, I was just trying to do my best.
That's it, because not to cut you short, sorry. I'm trying to, like, understand, you know, because we are in, like, we're in developed countries where we have different people, multicultural, but is it like the same thing back home? Is the workplace as, like, that toxic back home? I would not know. I was trying to find someone that could, like, speak for the Nigerian counterparts, but do you guys think it's the same type of toxicity, if I'm not wrong, please pardon my English, is it the same, like, back in Nigeria, or yeah, it's just the whole international aspect that's different? Because, you know, Bukola mentioned diversity,
right? I mean, can I go first?
Yes, please.
Awesome. I feel like, you know, like, because if you're from a certain place, it's home. It definitely feels like home. Not to say most people haven't lived outside of Nigeria, even though they're like ethnically Nigerian, but they live outside of Nigeria, mm-hmm. and that's equally their home. Like, I've been in the UK for about 17 years, which was my home, you know? So, but in terms of what you ask, I feel like because we kind of feel a bit like foreign here and we're always trying to impress, I think that is a big part of it as well. Because for, you know, every task they give you, you want to go above and beyond. You don't want to be that stereotypical black guy that they say, oh, they don't do good or they're not going to perform well. But in Nigeria, from speaking to some of my friends who work there, it's there as well. It's probably even worse. But because, you know, the cultural dimensions in Nigeria, you have to be strong, you have to be adaptive, you just brush it off and sweep it under the rug, you know? So it's probably worse, and especially for females, you know, depending on the industry you work in as well. We shouldn't even get into like the music or the acting industry, because that's a bit crazy one as well. I feel like it's generally everywhere, but as you know, it's good that you're doing this because it brings awareness to not only people at home and also people, you know, abroad. Like, I didn't know this for so long. Like I said, I just used to do my work and just be like, oh, whatever. I'm pretty laid back and chill anyway, so it takes a lot for you to like brush me off. But so that's it, really. I feel like it's everywhere, but the more aware people are, the better we can move forward,
you know. Okay, thank you Mo for that little chip. Do we guys like, okay, what I want to do now that we've really introduced what the topic is and we've like said something about it, do you guys have personal stories? Because me, I have stories for days. So I don't want to start first because I'm always starting first. So does anybody want to like kick up the floor with maybe like a story, or maybe not, might not necessarily be your story, might be from someone that you know, a friend of a friend of a friend, you know?
So I think I would be willing to share my personal story. So I had my internship in a certain international company. And you see this company, they scream diversity and inclusiveness like more than any company in the world. I mean, like, I don't even know what to use to quantify the rate at which they scream this. And, like, it's all over their website. It's all over their, everything that has to do with them, it's all over it. Now, on getting to this place, mind you, I do have a friend who works in HR in another company. And you know these HR guys, they're always talking to each other. And this guy told me, like, in my very first weeks, and was like, you might want to be careful. I've heard a lot about this company and their culture is quite toxic. And I was like, nah, it's a lie. Because, I mean, the first few weeks, it was all rosy for me because they were screaming diversity in my ears and screaming, oh, you can meet up with anyone, talk to anyone, you know, networking is always easy, and you know, like things like that, making us feel so free and all that. And believe me, in my first, I think my first month actually, I was already getting a complaint from my direct boss that I was slightly too pushy. Now, the word too pushy, I don't know where that could have come from. Because I tried to understand it. It wasn't making any sense. Because you want me to be close to you. You want me to, you know, come to you. Because I'm an intern, you get. And you want me to come close to you. You want me to ask you questions. Now, I'm asking you questions and you make it seem like I'm being too pushy. First of all, the word pushy, should that even be used in the workplace at all? I don't know. So now that literally messed up my entire internship in the sense that first, I didn't know how to relate to my boss. Secondly, I didn't know when I was doing too much or when I was doing less. And I don't know, it just messed my entire internship up. And honestly, I don't even know. I don't know if I should I didn't even know what to use to describe like the entire situation. I just need to mess my entire internship up because my relationship with my manager was just
to understand.
Mm-hmm.
To understand.
Yeah.
You're an intern. Of course you're there to learn. Like you're
exactly
your number one attribute to be curiosity because yes, I want to learn, mm-hmm. that's why I'm here. So if I'm asking questions, that's because I'm interested. So why should they exactly. be like pushy? Did you try to ask like, did I do something? Or did, do you have to like, did you try to like communicate with your direct manager?
You know what? I think I should give you a little backstory to this. So personally, I'm not one to ask so many questions. Google is like my best friend. The internet has always been my best friend, like growing up. And I think my boss noticed that I was always, you know, looking for answers on the internet, taking courses and stuff. And then she came up to me one day. I was like, oh, I see you're always trying to learn new stuff. How about you ask me first before going to the internet? Now, I start to do that. I always have many questions. And then me asking so many questions becomes me being so pushy. Now, that wasn't like the only situation that warranted or that resulted in me being tagged yeah. pushy. So there was another, I think she was the one who gave me this, you know, feedbacks actually. So it wasn't like I heard from someone else or anything. So there was this other situation where I would need responses to, I think, certain mails that were quite important. So these people, I don't know for them. They're literally pretty much laid back when it comes to doing their jobs, I think, from what I saw, from what I experienced. So I could send you a mail and it's quite important. Like someone else needs answers and I have to give the person answers. I don't have these answers. You are my boss. You have these answers. And then I send you this mail. And then this mail stays like 2-3 days in your box and you still don't give me a reply. And then I send you a follow-up and then that's me being too pushy. So like the use of the word being too pushy was just uncalled for me. It was uncalled for, it was not necessary, and it just really messed things up because now I wouldn't even know if I should go to other people to ask questions because that's like, I mean, like it just doesn't make any sense that I'm going to someone else to ask questions or someone else whose job isn't even related to what I want to ask. It doesn't make sense that I'm going to someone else to ask questions when my direct boss is there. And I don't know, but I'll just say it just messed things up. And the funny thing is I wasn't even the only intern they did this to. Chiget.
Oh,
I think I've shared this story with, yeah, it was a general thing. And at the end of the day we had a talk, myself and some other interns, and after looking at the whole thing it turns out these people scream diversity like at the top of their voices, and then they make you feel so, you know, relaxed and all that. But then at the end of the day, when it comes to the end of your internships and they want to retain certain people, when we took a good look at the people they retained and the ones they've retained in the past, they're either French or they're Europeans.
All right.
Like, no single intern. We couldn't find a single intern that was not either European or French that they had retained. And they keep screaming this diversity thing in my ears. And I'm like, I'm tired. You know what? Just keep quiet.
Don't you think, you know, like, because of the French system, you know, before you can give someone a job, there has to be the administrative part behind it. That's the reason why they don't want, like, someone that's not European or...
You think so?
I
don't think so. I don't think so because, I mean, you claim that you value skills and all that more than your identity, like, more than people's identities, and that's not exactly what you're portraying. Mm. Mm. the identity even matters to these people more than the skews, if we take a very deep look at it in the end of the day. I think I'm starting to talk too much. Please, Moyo, you have to flop.
No. This is no. I'm not gonna come on my podcast and say you're talking too much. This is what is done.
Carry on.
Okay. So, do you have anything to add to what she just said? Pertaining to her story, of course.
Oh yeah, of course. I mean, like, I feel like her boss is I mean, I don't want to insult your boss, but that sounds quite unreasonable. Cause...
Go ahead. She's no longer my boss.
I mean, because as an intern, you know, your role is to try to learn as much as you can about the role. And also, you know, you don't have that role yet. So you need to, like, develop yourself. So anywhere mm-hmm. you can get, mm-hmm. like, information from, be it Google, be it training, be it from her, you shouldn't solely depend on her. It's only if it's, like, a technical role where... you know, you can't find that answer outside. It's based on experience, then maybe her. But, you know, I feel like she's just been a bit manipulative, you know, because she tells you not to look it up, but then you're asking her and she's saying you're being too pushy. That sticks to,
exactly.
to your mental well-being, and then that wouldn't make you want to ask questions. Even if you have a question, you'd be very hesitant to ask. And so
I put it to you, I never asked questions like after that yeah. comment, because I've been like, what's the point? And then, like, in the long run I decided to start taking, you know, courses online and all that, just to improve on my skills and all that. And was it a beautiful experience? I did learn a lot, I wouldn't lie, because I mean, there were resources to learn, like taking free courses online, like with the company's influence, obviously.
Right.
But then, like, personal, I think I'll say the interpersonal relationship was just, it was really messed up. It was because even with my teammates, I wasn't really talking. Now, Tino, I think I need to ask you this question. What is it with French? Yeah, because technically you're French. So what is it with French people and what's it called? And always...
The xenophobia.
No. That's not even what I'm trying to say. So they have this thing where they keep inviting you out. And if you refuse, it's a problem. And
when you say they keep inviting you out for like social gatherings or like
what social gatherings and all that, and yeah, exactly, they are not work related. And me, I'm like, excuse me, I don't have money to go and spend where you people are going, and these guys don't even pick reasonable restaurants. They won't pick reasonable bars, but I think they're not so expensive. I mean, I'm an intern. You want me to spend my entire salary?
I just don't get that.
And then the more you choose not to go with them, it becomes a problem. I started to have that problem, and my boss called me and said she felt like I wasn't happy to be in their midst. That was her interpretation of it.
But did you tell her that I'm an intern and I cannot be going out? She needs to know
how
that.
How much are you paying me?
Right.
How much are you paying me? Are you going to be spending my money in the bar?
To answer your question, I don't have a direct answer. You're like French now. They are happy, holidays, drinking, you know, like anytime not to work. We're good to go. Just give us. We are ready to spend, even if the food is trash. But I don't know, it's very understandable. I think I've come up, that same situation is what I'm relieving at work right now. Like, they do this very, I don't know, strategically, okay? 2 days before the end, like, before we get payment, they start telling us that, guys, we're having an after work so-and-so hour. So they let you know that immediately there's payment into your account. Give us 10%.
Pay your tithes.
Exactly. Knowing me, when I first started, I used to join because, you know, I'm new to the company, so I'm trying to, like, you know, get the juice. Who is, you know, who's petty, who's doing this, you know? But then I realized that my pocket has been affected. So they know when they come with these ideas of, oh, you know, let's go get a drink. And I'm like, sorry, I have a plan. So they stopped. Of course, they will keep sending you, but at some point, they will stop. Like, so we're not going to do. We're not going to waste our money. So yeah, but it just, I don't know. It's a French thing. It's a French thing. So yes. So thank you, Bukola, for sharing with me. Before I go to Moyo, I also want to like really speak on this kind of like emotional abuse in the work environment. Also, I had that kind of experience in my first year. Master's precise. I actually started as an intern in like a different agency. It was really nice because I was doing communications at that time, and I had the opportunity to work, in the recruitment agency. So I kind of like learned two different things, which is why I'm doing what I'm doing today, anyways. But yes, it was an interesting experience. The first six months of my internship was great. I was the best intern of the year. Everybody liked me. Then came my apprenticeship. And I realized that most of the ideas that I had, okay, in context, like I said, I was doing communications and they recruited me to work as their communications and recruitment assistant. So which means I have like 50-50 in terms of communications and recruitment. But I came up with different ideas in terms of our website, you know, social media. You know, now you have all these ideas, but each time I put that idea to my direct boss, he's always like, oh no, you're not here for that. Then came COVID, so we're working from home, and then after, like, when we had to come back to work, we had some other interns join us. So of course, you know, when they are new interns, then the boss wants to like show how diverse we are, and they present Tino, the dark-skinned girl, you know. And in one of our discussions with the interns mentioned, oh, like, innocently, of course, oh, madam, we'd like to change the website. It's not colorful. We'd like something more enticing. And my director said, oh, yes, please do that. I've been begging Tino to do that all day. And I'm like, ma'am, I've been here for over a year. And I keep saying the same thing. And you tell me, no, you should focus on recruitment. You're good at it. But when I want to talk about, like, communication aspects, the fact that you have to create a newsletter for both clients and candidates, you tell me no. That I should face recruitment. Like, there were so many stuff like that. And for me, because I was really nice to the interns, because I'm very playful, they would tell me all these things that the director tells them. They would tell me all these things. Like, for example, like, I think one time with the intern, we went for lunch together. So they were telling me different things that this woman told them about me. And the next day we go to work, the woman comes up like all looking nice, is speaking to everyone, giving everybody breaks. And when, like, usually I don't have breaks, I'm always on the phone with the candidates, clients. So when the guys want to go for smoking, the boss will be like, oh, you guys can go take 10 minutes. I always tell Tina to take 10 minutes, but she never can. And the interns are like, she can't take 10 minutes because every 30 minutes she has a damn call to make. Sorry for the swearing. But yes, generally for me, that experience was, he made me like create a defensive mechanism. Like, I don't want to relate with people. When I got my new job, I realized that I was stressed as an intern for 2 years. And coming into the real world, I was a little bit protective of myself. And then I realized that there are so many signs that we don't see. It's those little things that they do to us, but you don't realize. It's after you leave that part, you leave that space, that you realize that, oh God, I was like, I'm really fucked up. They did this to me and I did not realize that. Not to take a monopoly of speech, I'm directing this to Moyo. You want to share something with us? Because I know you do have a lot of things to say.
Oh man, yeah. yeah, I do have a lot to say. I don't even know where to start. I think maybe I'll probably share this one because it's quite straight to the point. You know, like, if you have like a boss who's like a micromanager for no reason, and like they just kind of sit on like your work, they know you can do the work, you've done the work so many times, that's why you've been recruited, and mm-hmm. but they just want to know every detail of everything you're doing, you know, to the extent where like even other colleagues or other bosses are starting to think, like, why is he always like on your case? Like, even though they're getting the job done, you know, but they do it. And
that's typically a French system of management. They micromanage.
It's unhealthy. You know, if it's like you've given someone a role, or a project to do and they've messed it up or they haven't kept the time, then maybe you can say, maybe for the next one, I'll micromanage them. But then, like, it does not allow the people to grow, because you're always, like, just, it doesn't allow free thinking, you know, which is something that's very big in my work roles, engineering. So I think that's just one of the things that's happened in terms of, like, a toxic work environment, because at the end of the day, I feel like everything that we get leads to one thing, which is, you know, you start to get anxious at work, you don't want to go to work, like, it starts to feel like a chore, and you know, you're not enjoying yourself, you're not free at work, you know.
Yeah, true.
And when it starts to get to that level, then, you know, you kind of have to, like, you know, move on.
So, okay, now that we've, like, stated the obvious, we've shared our experience, do we have, based on our experience, of course, like, the signs to look out for, how to recognize that you're being emotionally abused at work?
So first of all, I think the most obvious sign, thank you Muyo, thank you so much, is this one Muyo mentioned, micromanaging. And it can be very, very frustrating. I get it. Like, I completely get it.
Because you can't even turn your back. You have your boss.
Exactly. And first of all, Muyo, if you still have a boss who does that, I'm just going to share my friend's story. So I have this friend who's a software engineer, and his boss used to be like that. And so this dude is literally, you know, one of those employees that the company cherishes so much.
Right.
Yeah. I'm hoping, and I believe in you. I know you're someone your company cherishes so much. My friend literally busted out on his French boss one morning and told him, see, if you don't stop this thing, I am leaving this office. I am going to resign. Because there's no way I'm going to do my job properly if you continue to do this. And that was it.
Right.
Like, that was the end of micromanagement. Wow. For my friend. But then,
was it because he's new to the game?
He's not new to the game. This guy has been a software engineer for years. So it's not even that he's new to the game. His boss is just a micromanager. Like you said, you already said it's the French system already. So, yeah, they need someone who matches their energy. Mm-hmm. So, you know, deal with them. So, yeah, that's one thing. And then another sign that we tend not to be cautious of.
Take note.
Exactly, we tend not to take note of is stealing credit for your work. I mean, you did something personally. It was your idea. You carried the idea out. And then your boss wants to make it seem like it was a team. I mean, yeah, you're a team player, but then this was like your brain work. And then your boss is presenting it like, oh, my team and I did this.
I will save D.
Not my team. My team and I didn't do this. This person on my team did this. And, like, give credits. Even the Bible said this. Give what belongs to Caesar to Caesar. Give the credit that belongs to Moyo to Moyo. Give Tinu's credit to Tinu. Like,
give me my own, please.
Don't say my team and I. Where is Tinu's name in that, my team? And I, it's not surfacing. No, it's not. And then,
okay.
Yeah, so pretty much, I think.
Okay, one question, guys. Do you guys think giving the silent treatment is a good way to work or not? Like, when you're at work, because I, when I was making my research, I found out silent treatment is also a way that like the emotionally abused at work. But for me, I have been in my current job, I've been in situations where I gave silent treatment to one of my colleagues. It was just to protect myself, because if I had confronted that person, they would have been a very big fight. So it was like a defensive mechanism. I was just protecting myself, avoiding any shit. So you guys think, like, generally, is silent treatment a good thing? And can it be used to protect yourself?
Do you mind if I go?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. I mean, I feel like I wouldn't even call it silent treatment, because, you know, depending on the history or how work's been panning out or how the situation has been at work, things pile up and you don't want to, you know, have an outburst there where you start to look crazy or you fit that stereotype of an angry black or female, you know. So, I mean, I feel like it's just like ejecting yourself from the salute, from the problem. Like, so you take time to, like, you know, relax and kick back, and you don't say things that you regret, you know, because personally, it happens a lot, you know. For example, like what Bukola said, where the guy spoke out to his boss, I wouldn't advise anybody, if they don't cherish you at work, to do that.
Emphasis on if they don't cherish you.
You can actually do that. But at that case, you have a plan B. You already have a job somewhere else.
Right.
I mean, actually, speaking the truth, this guy actually has other jobs.
Okay. Right. So, yeah. Fight for yourself, but have a plan B.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, but I mean, I always like, you know, I always try to take the high road in every situation, even if it's if you have a disagreement over something, like, just try to be the bigger person, because at the end of the day, like,
I don't agree.
What? Being the bigger person, it doesn't work in every situation.
I know, but I don't feel like it has to get ugly. Like, you don't have to put. Do you know how I say it? The way I say it is, if you are not a bigger person, then you're literally throwing yourself down to that person's level as well. So it's like, so what's the difference? What's the difference between them?
No, not going. I'm not asking you to go ratchet that in your workplace.
To scrap, right?
You can't really
stoop low to everyone's level, you know? Because
exactly. Sometimes silence is like the best situation, but then, like.
Right.
I would say there are very diplomatic ways to deal with certain situations.
Personally,
I'm not one to shout with you. I will never join you in screaming on top of my voice. My voice isn't that loud. So I'm not even going to stress it. Exactly. So I'm not even going to stress it trying to shout or trying to argue with you. There are several ways to deal with people. Yeah. See, there are things you do to people, eh? They will go home and cry. They won't even be able to cry that cry in the office. Trust me.
Just to buttress my own point, like, why have go like nasty with the person? Okay, in my case, I gave silent treatment to the person. So I was not talking to the person, I was avoiding the person. Just for context, we all work in the recruitment aspects, like recruitment office. So when I come in the morning, I say in general hello to everyone. Then I go to my favorite work wife that y'all already know. I go to her office. We just chit chat for like 20 minutes, ignoring the person. Okay, this went on for like months, and everybody in the office, everybody in our company knew that there was like problem. So long after that person in question left the company, I heard rumors that she said, and I quote, Tinola actually came into the ladies to verbally abuse me. I was like, wait, even if I wanted to fight, you know, because when I'm in the office, a match is very obvious. I can't hide my feelings. I'm a typical Yoruba woman. It's going to come after me. So even if I wanted to fight with you, I would not go to the toilet to go and fight with you. It would be public so that they will separate us. But why am I going to come to the toilet and start telling you that I will beat you? I'm not going to do that. Because she lied, she kept on telling people, and some people actually did believe her. not until she left and people got to know me, and they're like, ah, Tini would never do all these things. So which means if someone had not spoken, right, or if I just kept on being silent, that lie would have gone for like months. People would tag me violent. But she was lucky. She left. So she was still there. Huh. Moving on. Moving on. Do we have any other signs that we should round up?
Yeah. Do you want to add to it, Bukola, or should I?
It's your turn.
Please, right, speak more, please.
I mean, also, you know, like, the set signs, like, I think it pans off of the micromanagement bit, because sometimes, you know, if they give, if you're working on a project and for some reason they're just always asking you, oh, so what have da-da-da done, or what have we done this, have we done that, and you're like, bro, like, there's so many people on this project, it feels like every time we have a kickoff meeting or like a feedback meeting, it's, you're just, they're always asking you the same questions, always focusing more on you than any other person in there, which is like, it's just, it starts to get weird, you know, and that happens.
I think I like to classify that as unreasonable work demands,
probably,
because and it sort of boils down to what I mentioned in the beginning about some bosses who don't want to fire you. They just start to, you know, ask you silly questions or give you tasks that are not necessarily your business. See, if you're listening to this podcast, if your boss has started giving you unreasonable tasks that have nothing to do with your job, please just drop your resignation letter in peace and be going, because they'll be frustrated.
Don't drop like that.
That's the beginning of frustration.
Plan B first.
See, yeah, that is the beginning of frustration. Yeah. Because they're just going,
you know,
to,
like, you guys said, right, you can always speak up, you know, you have to be, like, when I was saying, like, take the higher road and stuff like that, the other side to that is, like, you can speak up, you have to be stern, you have to be, you don't have to be condescending, because where I come from, especially in England, everything is documented, you just feel like you're talking, but they would have a record of that, and you don't want to come across as like the violent person, because that's what they always make us look like. So you can always speak up and say, listen, you know, this is not my role. I mean, in the past, I think this is where the problem is. Most of us, when we're given all these roles, right, instead of us to speak up, something that I know, like a Caucasian counterpart will not do it, or he'll say, I don't know how to do that, and he'll go. In my case, if that was given to me in the past, I'd be like, oh shit, this is an opportunity for me to learn something, you know, so I'll probably do it. Opportunity for me to improve, impress, you know, stuff like that.
Impress,
and then
exactly.
Take all this on in different roles, in different jobs. And then when you start to look back in like 5 years, you're like, wow, like they were actually taking advantage of me. Like, if I don't want to do that, if that's not my job, bro, I need to be able to speak up. So if you want to train me on that so I can start to do that, then that's on you guys. That's the personal development bit. I'll take that, but that's not my role.
Word.
You know, that's not what I should be doing. I didn't write that in my CV that I could do that. So, but
it's not even in my job description.
Right. So that's a good point, like you said, to add to that. But you know, I would always have everyone to have a plan B. Like Tina said.
See, if you follow my advice, if you don't have plan B, and you
yeah,
on your own.
One thing that we've not really emphasized, though, because ever since we started this conversation, we're putting like the emotional abuse where there is power. I mean, between the boss and the junior or whatever. But do you know, I'm sure that we've had experience with colleagues this time, that there's no power in this thing. We're literally the same thing. But you want to be showing me, because you have PhD, you know what I mean? You want to be showing me that I'm better at the work than me. That kind of thing, have you guys experienced that kind of situation before? Between colleagues, though?
Yeah. Do you mind? Can I speak? Or?
Please,
Moyo,
please stop.
Right. I don't mind.
Okay, cool. I feel like that happens a lot, you know, depending on the type of teams you have. If you work for an employer that, you know, say you have 100 employees, you know, working in the same place, or even, well, I don't think it depends on the size, but the larger the number, the more obvious it is, you know. Some people, they might have been in the job a year longer than you, they try to act like they know everything, or you don't bring anything to the table. You know, and to answer to that, you know, some most times it takes a while for you to prove yourself, you know, like in any role or company. But then at the same time, some places you work at, you just, it does not feel like a team. You know, it just feels like we're individuals and stuff like that. I would just get out of that place, because at the end of the day, if you're working for a big company, I'm sorry to say, like, you're a little screw in a car, you know. So it's like, so no matter how you feel like you know this or you know that, or they know that, like, they can easily get rid of you. Like, you would break your leg or die today. And
true, very true.
So you just need to be mindful of that. That's why, with my experience, when I go to work, I keep work. I'm not telling you about any of my personal businesses or anything until you've proven yourself. Because they will use that against you along the line. And then you go into certain workplaces as well, and people have like cliques, and they click up together.
Yes, just like high school.
Exactly.
There you go. Yeah, blessed.
So that's just how it is. But you just have to be careful. You have to, the way to navigate that, I would just come into work, do my job as to the best of my ability. If I make friends, I make work friends. Like, this is not your friend. This is just a work friend. I need to be very careful of that. That's something that's hurt me in the past. So,
wow. No, I feel attacked, because everybody know my work wife. She's literally like my best friend at work. So if you tell me, okay, when you make friends at work, they are just your work friends. They're not like your best.
Yeah. I mean, with every case we state, there's always exceptions, right? So, like, I've had workplaces that I've left a long time ago, and we still talk. Like, I'll check up on them. They'll call me and be like, are you working? How's life? You know, like, you have certain people that like that. But I feel like once you get to work and you're working with somebody, your instincts will kind of tell you, you know, until they prove you otherwise. But for some people, you can just tell that we have the same mindset. We have similar backgrounds, depending on the race or like the age, you know. So there's always exceptions to that rule, to be fair. But I just try to be careful, because once you go in, you just have to know. And then once you know that, oh, okay, this is a solid person, we're chilling outside of work properly, they're not bitchy, they're not going back to tell your business to anybody, then I guess that's a green light. But other than that, I would just be very careful, because people are just out for themselves at work, and we all know this.
True. Everybody for himself, huh? One more for himself. Well, shout out to my work wife. I love you.
She knows it too.
Okay. So, putting out how to react if you are in this situation, first things first, we should learn to say no. Right. Do I have your backings? Learn to say no.
I concur.
Yeah. Respectfully, yes.
Respectfully, very yes. Very important. Respectfully. Don't just say no anyhow, but respectfully say no. Do you guys think, okay, reporting to someone that is another person in authority is also like recommended? Like, if you report, what would you report to the place? Like, if you have to, like, your next in line manager, do you have to report to his own manager or the HR? Right? Should we report to another person for your own sake?
Can I go?
Please.
Okay.
Yeah.
Reporting can be a little tricky in my experience. Reporting can be a little tricky, and if there's one thing I have learned, I think in future situations, I think if I'm not, I would try as much as possible to make sure every conversation is recorded, because you don't know who is who. I'm sorry to people who are not from our country, but there's something our people say. They say ojulari or real din. It simply means
to interpret what she said.
Exactly.
She said, "It's the eyes that we see. Friends did not come inside the gym."
So it simply means that you don't know what's going on in the other person's mind, and especially like Moya said earlier, if you're working in a big company, you're just a tiny screw in the entire system and they can get rid of you at any point in time. So in a situation where your direct boss and your boss's boss actually have the same mindset, reporting is not exactly going to help you. You just might be on your own. So it's a little tricky. You should report, but make sure every single thing is documented. And one more thing, never have a verbal conversation with your HR if it's not recorded. Because I rest my case.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And to round up all this session, I know there's so much we could have talked about, there's so much things that we can talk about, but for time's sake, I would just chip in one last thing. If you are in this situation and you think you're stuck, use legal action as your last resort. Like Bewalandi Cab, for those who understand. Don't wait. Like, be quick to report to not just the company authorities, but if you can have an external, like a lawyer or someone, the police, do that.
Yeah, you should do that very well.
Because
it's all about documenting things, like you said. You know, if you're gonna go and report, it's not even reporting. Like, it's because relationship has failed. You've tried to solve it amicably. You've tried to not even be friends, just work professionally, and it's not working. Then you have to speak to the boss, but make sure it's documented, HR documented, and then you can escalate that and make them pay.
Yes. So when the problem cannot be fixed at your level, when the problem is not able to be fixed at your own level, use legal action as a last resort.
Just make sure you have enough evidence before you go ahead and use legal action as your last resource. Because if you don't have evidence,
recommended.
On your own, once again.
Anyways, thank you guys for coming on my podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So any last words before we say bye? Anything you want to say? Any shout out to anybody you want to do? You want to do some adverts? Free? Go ahead.
Anyway,
plug it free.
Instagram at Bukonla Ruth, BUKNLA there's no underscore. BUKNLARUTH. Yeah, so find me and follow me. If you don't follow me on Instagram, you will see what will happen to you. Yes, it is a threat.
Yes, you follow us so that you don't see what's gonna happen. And tomorrow, any last words?
I'd say personally, the last word would be the way I see everything is all about your mindset, right? So even if you're going through something tough at work, it might be tough right now, but at the end of it all, whether you stay there or you leave, you're gonna learn from it. You know, this experiences that build you up. Maybe as a black person, especially, it builds us up. And then going forward, when you become a boss, you know how to treat people better as well. So you can learn from everything. Do your time at the job. And if it starts to get anxious and it's messing with your peace, then you need to leave. That's my final word.
Exactly. And remember, your life is important.
Yeah.
If you die today, they will employ someone else the next morning. So
the next morning, they'll do a new job description. That's my job. New job description. Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Tinu will replace you immediately.
Oh, God.
It's not my fault. Okay, guys. Thank you so much for coming on this episode. And to those that are listening, I hope that you've been able to pick one or two from whatever we've said. If you are in this situation, please speak out to report if you can't. Before you speak out, make sure there's a plan B. And also document as much as you can so that if anything happens, you have something to lay back on. Use legal actions. Do not stay in this mess. You can move. I think that will be it. Thank you guys for listening, and I'll catch you guys next week. Bye.
Thanks for having me.